Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com right now and use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off of your next order.
Hey guys, this is Mo Sider from the Detroit Red Wings. You guys listening to Locked On Red Wings.
Your Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. Today is Sunday, December 20th, 2020. That's right, recording and posting on a Sunday because there is some major news to break here, boys and girls. I am Detroit sports writer Nolan Bianchi. I've got longside Red Wings fan, longtime Red Wings fan Ethan Smith alongside with me. We are the hosts of your show. And we've also joined by Mike DeStefano from the Locked On Leafs and the Locked On NHL podcast to break down all of this news. It comes out Friday night. It's confirmed on Sunday evening by the NHL and the NHLPA. Hockey is back on January 13th. And we've got lots to talk about. But first, let's welcome in the boys, starting with Ethan. Ethan, what's going on, man? How was your weekend so far?
Weekend was good. Just doing some stuff with the family. Really starting to get into the holiday spirit. Made some cookies.
Ho, ho, ho. Yeah. All right. And Mr. DeStefano, how are you doing today? Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, no, appreciate you having me on the show today. I'm excited. I think, you know, it's been a heavy football weekend, and we were just talking some football quickly before we got going. But now we can chat hockey because hockey's back and we're just a couple of weeks away from puck drop. So, and that's now official. So I'm really excited. It's been a good weekend in terms of that's, you know, the big news of the NHL.
I am excited because we have not, I think it's been like over 280 days at this point since the last time that we saw the Red Wings play hockey. So I'm just excited to watch a live hockey game involving the team that I cover.
Yeah. I was chatting with Jason Hernandez from Locked On Ducks. We did a show on Friday when everything was breaking and he was saying the same things. Like, I haven't seen us play in like over 200 days, like almost 300 days since these teams have played. And that's just wild. At least I got a quick couple of weeks to watch the Maple Leafs before getting disappointed once again in the playoffs. But I couldn't even imagine having to wait all the way since March. Like, what have you guys talked about on your show?
Jeez. Not a lot. I mean, like, and the funny thing is like when the season came to an end, it was just like, it is what it is. Like, this team isn't very good. Like, there are things that need to be fixed, but everything needs to be fixed. And it's obvious how they need to be fixed. And it's obvious why they weren't working. Like, they weren't trying to be a good hockey team last year. So at a certain point, you're just kind of like, it is what it is. Like, and you don't know what to expect next season. Obviously adding a little bit of depth is going to help, but like, I just want something. I just really want a new point of reference.
Yeah, really. I mean,
about this team
after what I'd say a month into last season, we knew how the rest of it was going to go. So it really got monotonous just to talk about, like, all right, they lost 6-1 again to
no
Chicago.
Offense.
Yeah. You know, it's
no
just
offense.
Jesus.
It took you a month to figure out how the season was going to go.
Hey, we didn't start off horribly.
Hey, that 2-0 start, man. You know, Anthony Mantha, the 4-goal game to kick off the season. Then
Howard got a win.
2 in a row. And then I don't think anybody expected him to lose 20 straight. So, I mean, I don't think anybody expected them to be good last year. But I think you kind of went into it thinking this is a team where some of their younger core might help them start to turn the corner. And then you realize pretty quickly that is not going to be the case.
Right.
I'm hoping for a big breakout year. And Aunt Mantha was kind of having a breakout year before he got hurt, but a massive one for him. I picked him up in a dynasty league. So I'm hoping Mantha comes through with a monstrous year, not just this year, but going forward. I hope he has a tremendous career. So I'm so going for Mantha for you guys.
Well, we appreciate that. And like you said, he did have a pretty good season before getting hurt last year, came back and immediately made his impact felt. He's one of those guys that the Red Wings are definitely going to need for this full 56-game season. It is official, 56 games. The season will start on January 13th, come to an end on May 8th with those 56 games being played between those two dates. But what do you guys think about how many games they're trying to fit in this tight little window? Do you see any upside to it? Do you see any negatives to it? Kind of what's your initial reaction? Mike, we'll start with you.
I think it's a lot of games in a short amount of time. We'll have to wait to see what the schedule actually looks like before, I guess, being able to really say how we feel about the way it's all shaken out. But, you know, I could assume it's going to be quite a bit of, you know, three games in four nights, some back-to-backs. You're going to get a long run out of both of your goalies, if not maybe even a third goalie is going to have to be incorporated at some point. I did see actually that three goaltenders are going to be the minimum on a roster. So that's an interesting little wrinkle that they're tossing in this year. But I think that, you know, we're going to see a lot of hockey in a short amount of time span. I really hope it's not the case, but, you know, that could end up with an increase of injuries if these guys aren't getting the traditional rest that they're used to getting. And, you know, you got to play so many nights in a row or, you know, in such a little amount of time. I really hope that's not the case, but that is something that I would be worried about going into the year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say going off of what we were talking about NFL wise before we kicked off this podcast, is just we saw the amount of injuries that had with no,
especially early, right?
Right. And with no preseason, just training camps going right into games and in a condensed schedule, there's going to be a lot of teams that want to get off to a hot start, just like we saw in these playoffs right away. I mean, there were some fights and you could tell that the tempo was up right away. So I think that is really the hang up on my part.
How do you guys feel about there not being any preseason games? Like, do you think that's all right, or do you wish there were a couple?
I do wish there were a couple games, mostly for the reason that you kind of brought up, is just like, it's going to take these guys a little bit to get back into game shape. And even with the NHL's restart for the playoffs, like, they did schedule a couple of exhibition games because they knew that that would be a concern. And then to add on to the fact that they're playing a lot of games in a very short amount of time, you also have the added negative of these extremely short training camps. So for the 24 teams that made the playoffs, they're going to go back on January 3rd. That's a 10-day training camp. Well, I mean, I don't know, 9 days between start of training camp and the start of the season. It's December 31st, or as early as December 31st. For the non-playoff teams, they were promised a full extra week. They didn't get it. They got roughly four extra days. But just, I think in general, is it five?
No. Oh, I just said, it's fine. That's fine. Yeah, don't worry about it. We haven't played hockey in 10 months. It's fine.
Yeah. And it's so weird too. Like, if you're going to give them four, why not just give them seven? Like, find a way to give them seven, start the season 3 days. Like, I don't know what they're up against, I guess you could say, but that doesn't make any sense to me.
I would assume that they didn't want to, because in order to get that done, like, the January 13th was going to be the date. And if you want to extend training camp, so it had been earlier. And I think at the end of the day, these players wanted to spend some time home. Plus, some of these players have to quarantine. So some of them, you know, you need a week anyways to quarantine before you can even get going. So now that it's established, these players can start going into their cities. I don't know about, you know, how everything is in the US, but I know in Canada, there's at least a minimum 7-day quarantine that these players are going to have to do coming in. So in order to get everybody in and quarantine them, it's going to take a little bit of time to have that happen anyways. So as long as you have them there, you kind of are stuck and have to start around the 30th and 31st for like a team like Ottawa, who didn't make the playoffs, who want their players back in their city so they can get camp going as soon as possible. But the problem there is, again, you don't get as much time as you want. But if you want to start the season by January 13th, you're kind of pressed up against it. So, and that's why, you know, those other teams didn't end up with as much time as they would have liked, I would assume. But we're getting hockey back, so you got to at least be happy that you're watching.
Fair enough. And yeah, you know what? Enough. After it, just like it just was annoying. And I get it. And I also get that extra 3 days is not going to make a damn bit of difference in the grand scheme of things. But like, you're just like, from a standpoint of like, dang, like, we were promised that. And we were also told that the NHL draft lottery odds were going to change, and they didn't give us that. And now it's just like, there's zero
consolation prize at all for having the season that the Red Wings did, having it unceremoniously end. Although I don't, part of me is kind of glad that it ended unceremoniously, because like, I'm just like picturing like the final game at LCA that year of just like the clock winding down. Like, I think it was good that they didn't come down the final stretch, because that would have just been a lot of suffering, to be quite honest. I think they had 12 games left on the schedule by the time the season ended.
And no, we didn't miss much, did we?
We didn't miss much, both figuratively and literally. So we do have some new division realignments to get into. The NHL, they announced the new divisions. They're a little bit different than I think a lot of people originally thought. So we're going to bring those to you guys in just 1 second. But first, Mikey D, let's talk about Built Bar. It's even more deliciouser than ever before. They've got 6 new amazing flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Do you have a favorite on your wish list? Is there one that you go to more than any of the others?
The peanut butter brownie is my favorite one. It's not one of the new ones, but it is so it's unreal. It's the one that I order. The peanut butter brownie, the cookies and cream though is unreal as well.
Well, I mean, when you're mixing peanut butter and you're mixing chocolate, you truly can never go wrong, but you can also never really go wrong mixing chocolate with anything. And Built Bar knows this. That's why all 18 of their bars are covered in 100% chocolate. That's why they're all soft and easy to chew. They're great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, because as somebody who is on the quest to lose / maintain my weight, I'm always looking to cut some corners. But Built Bar helps me do it in a way that's not necessarily cutting corners, because you do get that 19 grams of protein at the expense of only 180 calories, at the expense of only 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. And like I said, it's absolutely delicious. You can get your fix while getting healthy. Just go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off of your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic and gin.
All right, bringing it back into segment 2 here at the Locked On Red Wings podcast. We're joined by Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs and the Locked On NHL podcast. Before we get into division realignments, just wanted to remind you guys to subscribe. We've got World Juniors preview, our interview with Ted Colfin coming later this week, and subscribing is the only way to make sure that those episodes are available the second that they go live. And just one more thing before we get into the new division alignments. I have an interesting note here. Two interesting notes, according to David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period. The NHL appears that they will let fans into stadiums and markets that allow it. Is this at all surprising to either of you guys? I feel like this is something that the NHL would have known very early on, but like also during the negotiations, the renegotiations, it kind of seems like that was a thing that was kind of holding up the process. We'll start with you, Ethan.
You know, it doesn't surprise me just based off of economics. I feel like the NHL really needs that extra bit of revenue coming in. I would say in terms of COVID, I could see some teams in Florida doing it. You know, hey, it's okay in Florida. But I mean, we're not going to see it like here in Michigan or anything.
Yeah.
Sure as hell not going to see it anywhere in Canada. I'll tell you that.
No, you won't.
America's America though.
I'm not surprised. I think like you said, it's in the states that are going to allow it, the cities that'll allow it. We're seeing it in, you know, it's the same in the NFL. It's the same in the NBA. Those who are going to allow fans in the stands are going to be in the stands. And I mean, why not? Like you said, these owners are hurting economically, the teams, the organization. So it only makes sense that if they are allowed and there are, you know, fans who want to pay, obviously there's going to be some restrictions. It's not going to be full capacity or anywhere near it, I would assume, but it makes sense from an economic standpoint for sure.
And I also think too, that like, as much as, you know, people want to bring up the point of like, oh, you know, we don't need sports in a pandemic And I get what where those people are coming from, but when you talk about letting a very small amount of fans into a stadium, just stadiums in general are a great place to social distance. Like, you can fit in 1,000 people into an arena and not have them anywhere within 20 feet of each other.
Does it say anything about protocol? Like, you're going to have to prove a negative test before coming or arriving or anything like that?
It does not say anything about protocol. I would imagine that is something that is going to come up. And I also wonder, I mean, is that the way it's kind of been working in the NFL? Do they have those restrictions on it? Do you guys know?
I think I heard that may have been a thing. I don't know for a fact, but I think if it is the way, because I thought I heard that if you were buying tickets off of StubHub or whatever, you, in order for you to get the tickets, you're going to have to prove some sort of that you've taken a test and that you've tested negative in the last week. I don't, that could have been a rumor. It could have been just somebody blowing smoke or saying this is what they're thinking of. I don't know, but I do recall hearing something about that. And if that's true, then I have absolutely no problems with the teams that are allowed to have fans in the stands. Give them that opportunity to make up that lost revenue.
All right. Well, this is something that I do have a problem with, but also kind of figured it was coming. And this also coming from David Pagnotta. I can confirm NHL teams can now put a sponsor's branding / logo on helmets starting this 2020-2021 season, subject to category restrictions. I think we all knew that advertisements were coming on the uniform in some way, shape, or form. It's been a staple in European hockey for the longest time. We started to see it on NBA jerseys, on that they got like a little label kind of up on the shoulder area. Not a surprising move to me, disappointing nonetheless.
Where do they say that they're, do they know where they're going to put it? Mm-mm. I mean, I can't imagine that they're going to replace the logo of whatever brand the helmet is. I mean, that's going to, I think that's illegal. You can't take off, you know, a CCM logo and strap a Flagstar logo on it. Where, like, I'd be interested to see where they're going to put that. If it's going to be on the back or something, I guess I could understand, but
yeah,
I don't know if it'll be like a giant in your face type logo. I think it'll just kind of be there. Like, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see exactly how they decide to design it, but you're right. I don't see it being, you can't cover up, you know, the manufacturer, that's for sure.
Right.
But to be honest, again, because of the times that we're in, I don't mind it. I'm not even going to realize it, to be honest with you. Like, how often do you realize these logos that are on NBA uniforms? Unless you're actually looking for them, you don't. Maybe the first game you look and be like, oh, that does kind of look a little different. But after, you know, 3, 4, 5 games into the season, you're not even going to realize what it looks like. It was kind of like the fans. The first couple games, it looked weird without fans, but then by the cup final, to me, it all just looked normal. Like, it was just the way it was. And I think it's going to be the same when it comes to sponsors on helmets, as long as it's not overdone. Like, I think in Europe, it's a little overdone. I think they'll do it a little more tasteful here in North America. But I don't have an issue with it. Again, we're in terrible times. They need to find ways to make up revenue. And this is one that I think both sides are completely fine with.
Would you guys say that's not a slippery slope and that we're probably going to have logos on jerseys? And I'd say this year, next year?
I don't think so. Gary Bettman has been so adamant about not having logos on jerseys. I think this was the concession, and I think this is the farthest that he'll go when it comes to that. That's my opinion, just based on everything that I've read and heard come from his mouth. But he has been very adamant about not getting into the business of logos on jerseys. So this doesn't seem like kind of a door opener for that to me. I think this is just kind of circumstantial.
All right, well, let's get into these new division realignments. We have a couple important dates to relay to you from Darren Dreger. We'll do that in the next segment. But for right now, I mean, we'll start with the North Division, which is essentially the Canadian division, and that's the division that you reside in, Mike DiStefano, you and your Toronto Maple Leafs. So we've got Calgary, Edmonton, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Vancouver, and Winnipeg. Probably didn't even need to run through those because you guys know which cities are located in Canada. But there you go. Only 7 teams, so you got that working to you in your favor. They're going to take the top 4 from East Division. We'll go through the West here. They've got Anaheim, Arizona, Colorado, Los Angeles, Minnesota, San Jose, and St. Louis and Vegas. The Central, they've got Carolina, Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Detroit, Florida, Nashville, and Tampa Bay. And then in the East, they've got Boston, Buffalo, New Jersey, the Islanders, the Rangers, the Flyers, the Penguins, and the Capitals. Which division sticks out to you, Mike?
I mean, you guys may think I'm biased, but I think that North division is by far and away the strongest division here, followed by probably the East division. But the North, you got six teams there that are super competitive and can make the playoffs. I can't say the same about the rest of these divisions. And even for some of them, yeah, they may have three or four really strong teams, but then the back half is really not all that, and you can beat up on them and get points that way. Whereas here, it's going to be a dogfight every single night. I even look at Ottawa as the seventh team. They've made a lot of really good additions, and I like what Ottawa and Pierre Dorion has done. They got themselves a goaltender, Matt Murray. They went and they signed Evgeny Dadonov. Their young youth is going to be a year older, a little bit better, stronger, hopefully. So I think they'll be more competitive than maybe people think, which to me, you look at it, if they're the weak link in this division, like it's going to be a tough go for Toronto, for all seven of these teams here in the North. And like I said, I think the East would be a decently close second. I think outside of maybe Buffalo and New Jersey, the rest of those teams are all going to be pretty solid. And it sucks that two of Boston, the Islanders, the Rangers, Philly, Pittsburgh, or Washington aren't going to be in the playoffs. It's kind of crazy when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a really good division to watch. And then you have the West, who are immediately just knocked down a tier because of the fact they have those three California teams who are all not only not good, but trending towards tanking and not the other way around. Like I would say, and I might get laughed at for this, I think the Red Wings are on their way out of the Valley. I think all three California teams are on their way to the Valley, although not many steps behind.
It's funny because today I'm doing a crossover show with the guys from Locked On Detroit. On Friday, I did a crossover show with Jason from Locked On Anaheim. He said the same exact thing that you said, but about his Ducks, and that your Detroit Red Wings were in the dumpster.
I think the Red Wings are going to be a lot better. The
beholder, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying that the Red Wings aren't going to be bad next year, but I think that they're going to have a higher point total next year and then a higher point total the year after that. So they might still be in the dumpster. Their valley might be lower than the Ducks, and that might all be true. But I do think that if nothing else, it's trending in a positive direction. What about you, Ethan? What division sticks out to you?
I'm just looking at the Central Division. I feel bad, and I'm speaking for Detroit fans. I feel bad that there's no Boston and there's no Montreal in our division to really help get us some wins. That's too bad. But really, I mean, it's not – these divisions make the most sense rather than what they gave out at the beginning of last week.
Yeah.
And it was throwing like Minnesota and stuff. And it just – some of it wasn't really – you could tell it was a more of a rough draft. I would say that the travel that these Canadian teams are going to have to go through going east to west consistently – that's really going to suck.
Yeah.
So what's interesting about that, the BC government is still kind of mulling over whether or not they're going to allow Vancouver to play. So if Vancouver is not able to do that, then I think they're going to have to buddy up in one of these other cities with one of these teams. And Vancouver is the farthest west you can go. So if you do take that out of the equation, it does ease up a little bit of the travel, but it does suck for the Canucks, who are going to basically be playing the whole year on the road, much like the Toronto Raptors, much like the Toronto Blue Jays. So it's not like they're the first pro sports team to have to do that. But it's definitely going to be a lot of travel with these teams. And I wonder how that is going to impact the on-ice performance.
And to take it one step further, those Canadian teams have to play each other 9 to 10 times, whereas the other teams in there only have to play the other members of their division 8 times. So that could even bump up travel a little bit as well, although I'm sure they'll find a way to cut down on that logistically.
This really doesn't have much to go on with hockey this year, but this is the first time I've thought about this. It's a pretty rough time for the NHL to have an expansion draft at the end of this year. The world going through the time that it is right now, people unable to spend money on stuff like that, and you're telling me that now all of these season ticket holders that have obviously already bought in with Seattle and stuff, that you still have to fill out the upper bowl there, you know? I mean, that's a brand new team coming there, and realistically, they'll be as good as Vegas was, maybe with some less deals on this side. But, I mean, I'd still say they're going to be competitive. I mean, nobody thought Vegas was going to make it to the finals, and I couldn't tell you that with the eight players they had break out that Seattle will have that. Realistically, they won't. But this is still a really poor time to institute another brand new team into the league in a market that hasn't had a hockey team in a while, besides the Thunderbirds and the WHL.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
I mean, it's just that there's a lot of things to that expansion draft, and that's going to be a whole other story next summer.
Yeah. Well, also, like, they're going to have to rewrite the way that the expansion eligibility rules go, because if you recall last time, you had to have like X amount of players that played like 68 games that year or 64 games, something like that. It was only 56 games this year. So they're going to have to rewrite all those rules again. They can't just hit copy paste and, you know, have the expansion draft. So it just creates so much more work for the league and all the players and teams and stuff too.
All right. Well, we will get on into picking our division winners here in just a second. But first, I got to take a quick pause because Patrick Mahomes is driving down the field looking to lead the Kansas City Chiefs to another touchdown. And I took the over.
I also took the over.
And where did you place your bet when you placed that bet, Mike?
The only place that you can place a bet, the place you should be, that's betonline.ag, my friend.
I like the sound of that. Now, the question is, are we ready for some football as we head in into these last couple weeks of the season? We not only have the NFL teams pushing for the playoffs, but we got the college football heading into bowl season, conference championships just wrapped up, and the NFL regular season becoming more clear in their playoff picture. And like you mentioned, there is only one place that has you covered and only one place that we trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Folks, that means if you put in $50, you can put down $75 on the Kansas City Chiefs. If you put in $100, you can put down $150, literally giving you free money to gamble with. You ever hear the expression playing with house money? BetOnline.ag simply gives you house money to start, because they don't want you to sit on the sidelines anymore. They want you to get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And also visit our good friends at BetOnline_AG on Twitter to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign up bonus at #betonline.ag. All right, segment three here at the Lockdown Red Wings podcast. We're joined by Mike DiStefano, but first, do not miss out on another big hockey story. Start your week off with Lockdown NHL. Every Monday, Locked On Kings host Sarah Avampato interviews local experts covering the biggest stories in hockey, get reactions to blockbuster trades, deep dives on the teams destined to be at the top of the standings, and analysis of hockey's hottest stars. Subscribe to Locked On NHL wherever you get your podcasts, and catch our friend Mikey D on there every once in a while. Mike, what have you been chopping it up about on the old Locked On NHL podcast? I know I've had the chance to get to listen to you over these past couple of weeks.
Yeah, me and Joe DiBiase, as we do each and every Tuesday, just going through the biggest stories that are going on in the East. So with a big weekend that we just saw, we're definitely going to have a lot to talk about on Tuesday's show. But it's interesting because we don't really have an East and a West conference anymore. So we're going to maybe have to try and figure out what we're going to talk about. And I'm sure we'll figure it out. But there's lots of stuff, lots of it to chat about. And we'll do that on Tuesday.
The NHL apparently not taking the Locked On NHL programming into account when doing this these new division realignments. Before we pick our division winners, I wanted to just relay a tweet that I saw from Darren Dreger about some important dates coming up in the upcoming season. We've got April 12th as the day that Red Wings fans should circle on their calendars, because that is NHL trade deadline day. Probably will be the best day of the whole season until July 23rd and 24th, which are the dates for the NHL draft.
fun. Interesting. Right through the Olympics, though. That's questionable timing.
Yeah.
And
it's the NHL, baby.
Yeah.
And I believe.
Talk about just real quick on that topic. Talk about questionable timing. This massive news dump in the middle of NFL Sunday.
Yeah.
And hey, the news, like the pre-news dump where the report came out at like 9 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah. Classic after NHL. After like all of most of the like drive radio shows and drive TV shows and stuff are all finished for the day. Oh yeah. Classic NHL
ruining the ceremonious bringing back of their own season. We've been ripping the NHL. I know you guys had kind of talked about it a little bit on Lockdown NHL, but all we do here is rip Gary Bettman and the
NHL.
It's
just too easy.
They just stumble over themselves at every opportunity.
Just too easy, man.
All right. Let us hop into some divisional winners. Now, I think one thing that immediately stands out to me, I think there's only one gimme division winner. And even so, I guess there is a path for somebody else to win that division. But when I look at it, Tampa Bay out of the Central is the only one who like has a firm grip on, you know, the pole position heading into the season.
Tampa Bay could go 56-0. Mm-hmm. This is a very, very weak division. I don't know how many teams are going to be able to compete with them on a night in night basis. Obviously not 56-0, but I agree with you. I think I'm probably good to head over to betonline.ag and smack a waiver or a wager on Tampa Bay to win the Central. And I'll feel pretty confident about it.
Yeah, I think that's gotta be the easiest one, right?
Oh, 100%.
And it's the only division where I think you can easily pick out the four division winners. You got Carolina, Columbus is always scrappy, so they'll probably be in the mix. You've got Dallas and you've got Tampa Bay. But even in that West division, like we were talking about earlier, you've got Colorado, St. Louis, and Vegas at the top. And then from then on, it's kind of like it's going to be a race between Anaheim, Arizona, LA, Minnesota, and San Jose to see who can grab that fourth spot. And I really honestly don't even know where to start predicting out of those teams, because Arizona is the only team out of those guys who won or like got into the playoffs, got past that round of 24. And so I'm just kind of looking at it like they had a tumultuous offseason, about as weird of an offseason as you're going to have. So you can't even really pencil them into that fourth spot.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if Darcy Kemper can keep being Darcy Kemper in Arizona next year, I think they have a shot. But I mean, the West is all over the place. Minnesota's retooling. San Jose is San Jose, in my opinion. I forget that they're a hockey team sometimes.
Yeah.
I like Minnesota. I don't know.
I do too, though.
I would put them ahead of Arizona by quite a large margin, actually. Like, I could solidly call them the fourth best team in that division. I think like Kevin Fiala, I think he's going to be a superstar. He really started to pick it up at the end of last season. You got that that Russian prospect coming over, supposed to be an absolute stud.
I know. I always blank on his name.
Kirill Kaprizov.
That's yes. It. Yeah.
Thank you.
So he should be a really good player. So I think that Minnesota, I like what they're doing. Bill Guerin's put together a nice little roster for them. So he's definitely somebody, or that's a team that I'm thinking could come out into the top four in that West division. The rest of them, I agree with you, kind of a dumpster fire.
Yeah. And to touch on your point about Minnesota as well, they still do have Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. I think as long as you're in a place where you're able to put like some semblance of talent in front of them, all other things being equal, that just automatically puts them above the rest of them. So it'll be interesting to see whether that strategy from Bill Guerin works out, because they probably were in order for a full-on rebuild, but they still got those guys there, so they're going to try and retool. Be interesting to see. How do you guys who do you guys think comes out on top in that division, though? Is it obviously Colorado, because they did have such a good year last year and then they got way better?
don't think it's an obvious Colorado. I think Vegas definitely will give them a good run for their money.
Yeah, if I had to pick one, I think I'd actually pick Vegas. I still think Vegas, even though they do have to dump a couple players here to get below the salary cap, or at least one more player, I still think they have good prospects coming up. I think Glass is going to be really good for them. They still have a great, if they don't move Fleury, and even if they do, they still have a great goaltender. Great top six. I still think they're going to be right up there in the top of that division.
You also add in Pietrangelo to that defensive unit. Not a bad pick up there.
Yeah.
But Colorado, like, I think Nate McKinnon has brought his game to a completely new level. He was unbelievable in the playoffs. I think Mikko Rantanen is an incredibly underrated player in the NHL. Cale Makar, we saw what he did last year, taking home Rookie of the Year honors. Now you add in potentially Bowen Byram getting added to that mix once he gets back from the World Junior Championships. If they could just figure out the goaltending and Philip Grubauer, a little hit and miss depending on the night, I think that this is a team that could really compete for a Stanley Cup. But I think for sure those two, it's going to be a tough battle. That'll probably go right down to the, you know, game 54, 55, 56 before winning this West division. And again, it seems like everyone's just going to keep playing each other in these divisions. So those Colorado Vegas games, are going to have 7-8 of them. Those are going to be some big games. And you know, those are going to be, whoever wins that like 8-game series of the season may end up being the winner of the division.
Yeah, and I think those teams are really interesting because they are neck and neck, but I think they have very different levels of variance that can happen to them. I think Colorado probably has the higher ceiling, but also a lower floor just because they are a bit of a younger team. Vegas has kind of been there over the last 3 years. So I think that's something that could kind of play into it as well. So if we pick, so who's your guys pick then? I'm gonna pick with Colorado.
I'll go Colorado as well.
I'll stick with Vegas.
All right. We go to the North Division. I'll run through them again. Calgary, Edmonton, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Vancouver, and Winnipeg. I think this is probably the, I don't know, this division and the East division, like, you could tell me a lot of different combinations for how this shook out, and I would believe you.
Yeah. I think the only one that you could say is, you can almost say is for sure, is Ottawa will probably finish last.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, 1 through 6, toss it in a blender and see what comes out. I personally believe that Toronto probably will end up coming out. Not saying that as the Locked On Leafs host, but I truly believe that on paper, they have the best team in this North Division. I believe when you take a look at the odds on betonline.ag, they actually are 4th or 5th best odds to win the entire Stanley Cup. So I think Toronto to me seems like the class of the division. And then 2 through 6, who even knows? This is going to be just a dogfight through the entire season just to get to the end to see who ends up into the playoffs.
And I 100% agree with you, especially given the fact that Vancouver, like, they could be up or down next year. I know everybody's very high on Vancouver and thinks that they're just going to keep going up, but they lost some guys on the back end. They lost their goaltender, who goes to Calgary and kind of helps them shore up the goaltending position, which is something that had seriously hurt them over the last couple of years. They also pick up Chris Tanev from Vancouver. And so they're kind of a team who's looking to, they're a team who is almost in full form, and they're almost the team that they're going to be kind of running through that contendership window with. And I think they're a team that kind of has their core in place, but they're looking at it similar to Toronto, where you're like, we're a really good team, but we're a couple intangible pieces away. And now you're in a position where it looks like they might have that now. Edmonton didn't do a whole lot this offseason, but they did bring in Tyson Barrie.
They brought in Tyson Barrie. They also brought in Kyle Turris to shore up down the middle, give a little bit of depth there.
There you go. And Montreal got a lot better as well. Well, maybe not a lot better, but they got marginally better this offseason. I like what they're building there. I like that they re-signed Jeff Priester to that 4-year deal. I like their decor. I like the young stars they got with Kotkaniemi and Nick Suzuki, who had really good seasons last year. So I think they're interesting. They're probably my just overall team to watch for in that division.
So for mine, It might be a little bit off board. I could see them penciling it at 2 or 3 as well. But I think in a condensed schedule, if Winnipeg can get off to a good start with their forward group, if Laine finds consistency, Ehlers, Scheifele, Wheeler, I mean, I think they have one of the best top sixes in the Western Conference. And then also, I mean, their defense is a little suspect, but the fact that they have Connor Hellebuck, who's been up for the Vezina twice, I mean, yeah, he won it last year. I mean, that is just phenomenal to have. I think if you have that on top of getting good consistency from that group, I really think that they're a team to watch for.
All right.
Yeah, well then, I agree. I think Winnipeg is going to be a team who, again, they could finish 6th. I wouldn't be surprised. They could finish 2nd. I wouldn't be surprised. It's really going to come down to the goaltending, and it's going to come down to Connor Hellebuck. They barely kind of snuck into a playoff spot last year, and that was with Hellebuck playing at a Vezina level. So if he doesn't do that, and we know goalies are very voodoo, you know, Vezina winners 1 year, coach killers the next, what type of Hellebuck are we going to see? And that's really going to determine Winnipeg's season, in my opinion.
All right, Mike. So you got Toronto as the division winner. I'm going to go off the board, I guess, a little bit. I don't know what the odds are for them winning the division, but I'm going to take Calgary. Who do you got, Ethan? Let's lock you in.
I'll stick with Winnipeg. What do you guys think about Vancouver this year?
I thought
for sure one of you guys would pick Vancouver.
I just think they're going to take a step back. I don't like what they did on the defensive end. I don't really like, they didn't get better.
Defensively, I mean, I don't know. Why do you say that?
Chris Tanev is a guy that was there for a while. He had a real breakout performance, but he was like one of the guys who was just like there every single night in the playoffs. And obviously you do have second year Quinn Hughes. You do have another year older of Elias Pettersson, but you also lose Jacob Markstrom. And even though I don't know, I'm kind of like,
they went out and they signed Braden Holtby
for less than a pretty
landing. Right.
Like that deal. I hate to interrupt you. I did like that deal.
Right. And then for Tanev though, you went out and you traded for Nate Schmidt.
Yeah.
To replace Tanev. So like, I think they didn't lose as much as a lot of people say. I think a lot of people are making a big deal about the loss of Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah.
But for me, if you actually go and you take a look, the guy played 17 games with this team.
Yeah.
Like, that's it, right? Like, they did a lot without him, and he was injured for a good portion of the playoffs. He only played 7 of the playoff games, and they, went through 3 rounds? So I think that they know how to get through without him. They goaltending is pretty shored up with Holtby and Demko. I don't think it's going to be that big of a drop-off for Markstrom. And then you swap out a younger, maybe even a better Nate Schmidt for an older, always injured Chris Tanev. I kind of like that a little bit more, to be quite honest with you. But for me, I just think Toronto is the class of the division, and I have Vancouver coming in 2nd.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily dislike Vancouver this year. I don't like when there's a lot of turnover on a young team. I think that makes me a little bit uneasy and reluctant to pick them as a division winner, or even somebody that I think for sure is going to finish top 2 or top 1. I think Calgary is a team that kind of is Vancouver, but just a couple years ahead on the timeline. And then Toronto, I mean, they're going to be right there as well. I would probably pick them to be my number 2 if I got Calgary going number 1. So that's just kind of where I stand with that all.
It's going to be a tough division.
Who do you guys have coming out of the East? I think this is probably the most wide open division in terms of a first place selection. I really don't know here. So many shuffling, you know, so much shuffling of the deck going on. Buffalo adds Taylor Hall. Boston loses Torrey Krug. They might have problems on the defensive end this year. New Jersey, they didn't really do a whole lot this offseason to get better, but they were a team that a lot of people liked heading into last season. The Islanders are the Islanders. The Rangers got better. Philadelphia came out on the scene last year. And then you got Pittsburgh and Washington, kind of the two old guards of the Metropolitan Division, who come in or who are there to round things out. I just think it's going to be very, very interesting.
Okay. I think this is Boston's last kick at the can. I think these guys are going to come out full bore. I understand losing Krug. They might be a little bit more suspect, but I think this team's getting older. I think their top six is phenomenal. Even their bottom six is good. Rask is Rask, in my opinion. I've never had an issue with him. I think they'll get hot, and I think they'll be all right. Torrey Krug was great in the offensive zone. Wasn't the best in the defensive zone, but I think their top six forward group will be able to pick up at least a little bit of what they're losing with Torrey Krug.
I don't.
I saw you shaking your head.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to that. I think Boston's kind of done. I think they're going to take a step back, and unfortunately, they're not going to regroup. They might end up kind of in a similar situation to what we're seeing right now out in San Jose, where they got a bunch of aging players and they just keep thinking that they got one more last kick at the can, and it's just not going to work out. Some guys are going to fall off a cliff pretty soon here. Zdeno Chara may not even be back in the fold either. Yeah. He's a big piece of that team. I know he wasn't, the same Zdeno Chara that he was, but his presence in the locker room, on the ice, out there, he is a big part of that team. And if he's not there, you know, who knows what's going to happen. You know, I think Charlie McAvoy is going to have to take a big step for them to really be considered front runners in this East division. For me, believe it or not, like, I am loving what the Rangers have been able to do the last couple of years. You talk about a right tank. This is
right, dude.
This is what Detroit needs to be trying to mimic, what's going on in New York.
Well, you see, Mike, a large part of their execution in this ordeal was getting the number one draft pick in the 2020 NHL draft. So while I agree with you, I gotta stop you right there, because
well, getting the number two pick in the 2019 draft helped as well.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, they've definitely been lucky in the draft, but also signing Artemi Panarin, Igor Shesterkin coming over from overseas. I think this kid is going to be a monster. Like,
yep,
we think Vasilevsky's good. I think Shesterkin's going to run away with, you know, win multiple Vezina trophies. He's, you know, I'm a big hockey card collector. I do the hockey card show each and every month on Locked On NHL, and he's somebody who for a while now I have been saying, go get his cards. Because it's not going to be long that they're going to be 40, 50, 60 bucks. This is Canadian too. In the next year or two, this will be a triple digit card all day long. I just think he's going to be that good. Again, Panarin, Mika Zibanejad, one of the most underrated players in the league. Chris Kreider, another seriously underrated player. Ryan Strom had himself a heck of a season last year. And I haven't even talked about the back end yet, which is also super duper talented, you know, with guys like Jacob Trouba. Adam Fox was a rookie last year. He was spectacular, and a couple other guys too. So I really like what the Rangers are done. Like you said, with the Canucks, they are still a little bit young, so you don't know what you're going to get on a nightly basis. But I like the direction that they were heading in last year when the season was ending. It didn't go over very well once they got into the bubble, obviously getting, you know, losing three straight and getting eliminated and bounced by Carolina. But I do think that they are an extremely talented team. And in a 56-game season, I can see them coming out on top in the East.
All right. Well, we're going to spend a little bit of time on the Rangers then, because you brought up Igor. Actually pulled. I pulled a 12 out of 25 Igor rookie auto out of a box of SP Authentics 2 weeks ago. So thank you for that. And another guy that I've been collecting because I kind of have some hopes for him on that defensive end, Adam Fox. Can he take a step forward this year on a level that, you know, Quinn Hughes or Miro Heiskanen, like just a big step forward? I think there's potential for him to kind of burst onto the scene and maybe even end up in the rookie of the year conversation. And then you look at the fact that Kaapo Kakko is a guy that you mentioned, the second overall pick in 2019, didn't really have the best year last year. I think it can only go up in a positive sense from that aspect as well.
Totally. I really like what this team is doing.
Anybody else that's really notable? Anybody you think is going to take a massive leap? I think I like what Buffalo is doing, and I think it's something that I feel something that I feel about the Sabres is something that a lot of people project to the Lions, where it's like, well, they're the Sabres, you know, like, yeah, they got this guy and that guy and this guy, but let's be honest here. They're the Buffalo Sabres. But you get Taylor Hall, you got Jack Eichel on a first line. Like, that's going to win you hockey games at the end of the day.
But Linus Ullmark is still your goaltender. Like,
it's funny. I look at Buffalo the same way. I think people are looking at Buffalo the same way that people looked at New Jersey last year. They had a nice couple of additions. They got some young players who they're hoping, you know, could be studs early in their career. And I think at the end of the day, the goaltending isn't going to be there and they're going to fall flat. I think that's my opinion on Buffalo, and they're definitely not going to make the playoffs. You're going to tell me that they're going to beat out Washington, Pittsburgh, Philly, the Rangers, the Islanders, and Boston. Like, they have to beat three of those six teams to make the playoffs. I don't see that happening. They may be able to finish, you know, maybe fifth, maybe sixth, but a top four, I just don't see it. The one team for me, though, to kind of go in the opposite direction, who I think is going to take a step back outside of Boston, I think Pittsburgh might take a little bit of a step back myself. I don't subscribe to their decision to roll with Tristan Jarry. He actually was awful the back half of the season. He was tremendous the first half, but didn't play well in the second half of the season and didn't play well in the bubble. And I think that they're not going to be happy with his performance, and trading away Matt Murray, I think, is going to be proven to be a big mistake on their part. I think they're going to struggle to have to scrap and claw to even get that fourth spot in this division.
I 100% agree with you. My next question was going to be whether we thought Pittsburgh and Washington were both going to make it in this division. And I agree that that's a problem. Like, on top of them, like, they didn't really get better anywhere either. Like, you got rid of Jack Johnson, but you replaced him with Cody Ceci. Like, isn't that kind of a wash?
Leafs fan here. That's a bad move. Bad move.
So I think the one team nobody was really talking about, what do you guys think about Philly? Philly was nasty in the second half of last year.
I like Philly. I like Philly a lot. I think they have an opportunity. I think they'll make the playoffs for sure. Mm-hmm. They could challenge the Rangers. I think Carter Hart is another one of those guys who's really come on. He's going to be an exceptional goaltender. My issue with Philly is they are getting a little bit older, so it's kind of like a kick at the can type scenario with guys like Voracek and Couturier and Giroux. They do have some young players like Konechny. I think Oscar Lindblom is a player who I think is going to kind of burst onto the scene this year a little bit. Nolan go pick up his young guns. I'm telling you, you won't be upset with me for telling you that.
Who?
Oscar Lindblom, the kid who had cancer last year.
Oh, yeah. I actually have one of those.
You can still pick them up for like less than $5. And I think it's going to be going up. But yeah, I think Philly certainly is in that conversation at the top of the division.
I've been doing that with Adam Fox, just like a couple a week, just $4, $5 here and there. I don't know why. I think at the end of the day, like, we'll see that go up to like $15-$20 at some point in the season. I think it's a pretty safe bet there. Since we got you on the show, because that does conclude. Well, actually, who are your guys? Did we pick division winners for this division? Oh, how do we feel about the Islanders? Take a step back, take a step forward.
Whenever I say they're going to take a step back, they take a step forward. Whenever I say I think they're here, they fall on their face. I don't know what to think of this team.
Fair enough.
It's a Barry Trotz team.
A not easily predictable situation there going on on Long Island. So we'll kind of skip that.
They got to sign Matt Barzal.
Yeah, still.
Right.
And they just lost, Devon Toews, like that. Lost Johnny Boychuk on the back end as well. It's going to be, I think it's going to be pretty tough sledding for them. But they're a team that, like, them and Columbus are in the same group where it's like, they shouldn't get better, but who the hell knows? You know, like, I guess we just have to wait and see what happens. So real quick, while we have the hockey card expert here to close out the show, who are some other young guns to go out and pick up, maybe from the 2021 series one, or just maybe from 1920, somebody that's, you know, kind of been a little bit of a sleeper that you think might take a big step?
Okay, well, we could start with some guys from this past year who I think are a little bit undervalued. I think Peyton Krebs. Now, when I speak of prices, because I'm in Canada, I buy everything in Canadian dollars. So you got to do your own conversion in your head for myself, but I've been picking up Peyton Krebs for about $10 Canadian. Funny enough, I went to a card show today. It's the last card show and then everything's locking down. So I was able to pick up a whole bunch of stuff here. Ooh, I can show you actually.
Yeah.
Literally picked up all nice. Of today.
Wow.
So I got a whole bunch. I think for some reason, Yoel Kiviranta, who we saw explode in the playoffs, for whatever reason, you can get this guy's card for like $2 to $3. And I don't understand why.
Yeah.
I think he's somebody who could be a good player for an aging Dallas team. So he's somebody who I'm picking up. Also keeping a Dallas, Dennis Gurianov is a player I'm really high on. Kevin Fiala is somebody who I've been stocking up on for, again, $5 a card, and it's already up to about $10 Canadian per card. This is something I see to go up to maybe as high as 20, 25, 30 by the end of the year. This year, series one wasn't great, right? Like outside of Lafreniere, there's not a lot to really shoot to go out and get. Maybe if you want to try and swing on a couple of guys who are going to be at the World Juniors. So like Connor McMichael is going to be there. Peyton Krebs also will be there. Who else? Bowen Byram. If you can get a Bowen Byram for like $20 or less, I guess, which would be less in your case. He could be somebody to go and get, but I would say right now, one of the guys who I'm really picking up, who I'm trying to find at a good price point, is Jack Eichel. And if I can find a Jack Eichel on a cheap, I think he's incredibly underpriced. And I've been picking them up. I grabbed one today, actually. Where'd he go there? Can't find him. Kirby Doc, too, actually. If you can find yourself a Kirby Doc in the next week or
so. I got a Kirby Doc and a box of the last box of 1920 that I opened. And then in the first box of 2021 that I opened, I got a Kirby Doc short print. So that's pretty sweet.
Oh, also, I'll give a little shout out to your boy, Philip Zadina. I think Zadina's a guy who's underpriced right now. So I think he's somebody who's going to start scoring some goals real soon. And that's where the money's at, right? These goal scorers, these point getters. And I think Zadina, if they can build a team around him, he's somebody who I think is underpriced right now that could end up going up an original six market. So he's somebody too that I'd be stocking up on.
Excellent. Well, Mike DiStefano, go follow him on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck, correct? Right?
Yes.
Go follow Locked On Leafs. Go follow the Locked On NHL podcast Twitter handle. That's at Locked On NHL Pods. Actually ran by your boy, but we tweet out everything just going around the league. We try and keep everybody up to date on everything. We got the World Juniors coming up this week, so you're going to want to stay locked on to that. Don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same place. It's your team every day.
Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.